Three hospices are calling on central government to step in after they say their urgent and repeated requests for more NHS funding from the South West London Integrated Care Board have not been successful. The hospices concerned are St Raphael's in North Cheam, Princess Alice in Esher and Royal Trinity at Clapham Common. St Raphael's provides end-of-life and palliative care to people living in Merton and Sutton. It announced last week it's proposing cuts to its community medical and psychosocial services of £1 million after seeing its annual costs rise by £1.1 million in the last few years, but with only a £140,000 uplift in its NHS funding over the same period. I'm Lucy Mayer and I've been speaking to Rebecca Trower, who is St Raphael's Clinical Director, about the issues the hospice is facing. Could you explain to me the main reason why you're here today?
I'm here because it's really important that we raise the profile of hospices and the funding issues that we're having nationally at the moment. We only receive about 25% of our funding from the NHS. The rest of that funding has to be raised by donors, fundraising events, legacies and so on. And it costs £6.5 million a year for our hospice to run.
So for people who may not be familiar with St Raphael's, what demographic of people do you look after?
So we are caring for the people living in the boroughs of Sutton and Merton and small parts of Wandsworth as well. And we are available to everybody. We are here to care for people who are in their last years of life. People with life-limiting illnesses, and also to support their families and friends.
Why did you decide to team up with Trinity and Princess Alice?
So Royal Trinity Hospice and Princess Alice Hospice are also funded by South West London ICB. We're totally funded by them. Princess Alice Hospice and Royal Trinity Hospice receive a proportion of their funds by them as well. And South West London ICB are responsible for giving us our grant. We aren't receiving anything like enough money to sustain all of our services. And as we all know, inflation has gone up hugely over the last couple of years. That has left us with a 1.1 million deficit. And we, in that time, have received £140,000 extra from the ICB. So although St Raphael's is in this very difficult position at the moment, it's widely recognised that this is going to affect all hospices. And there are a number of hospices around the country that are being affected in the way that we are now. I think the three of us hospices coming together, it's about power in numbers. We're all facing the same challenges and we want the government to sit up and listen.
So before we get on to the current government, did you manage to speak to any of the health secretaries in the last government about your issues?
Nationally, we have done through Hospice UK, who is our sort of umbrella organisation, if you like. They're also a charity and they support all of the hospices. They're sort of a one voice for all of us. So certainly they have been doing that. And we've been contacting our local MPs to also raise our concerns. This isn't new. This has been going on for some time. We've been asking for extra funding for a number of years and we haven't been listened to and we've now reached crisis point. The money that we've been receiving from South West London ICB hasn't really changed over the last few years. We've had a very, very small increase, but certainly that's not comparable to the rate of inflation. Going forward, I think we absolutely need to, again, raise awareness with our new government. What that will look like, I don't know, but I think right now, because we're all in the situation that we're in, we really need to make our needs known and hope that we're heard. You know, we know that we have a growing ageing population. More and more people need our care, they need our time, and yet our resources are diminishing. If we don't receive that funding, the impact that's going to have on hospitals, GPs and so on, and they're already stretched, the impact that's going to have is just going to be unmanageable.
You've got 13 beds, which sounds like a minuscule amount, but as you said, the majority of your work is done in the community.
So we have a highly skilled community team, and that includes our doctors, nurses, paramedics, therapists and so on. We receive referrals from GPs, hospitals, and we look at what those patients' needs are and what their families' needs are, and then we meet with those patients and families to look at how we can support them. We offer advice to GPs, other healthcare teams, and we also take patients from hospitals. But I think the important thing to recognise is most people want to die at home. Most people are more comfortable in their familiar surroundings. And by having hospices, we're able to support that. If we cut our services, which unfortunately at St Raphael's we are now being forced to do, we won't be able to provide those services to the same level. And it does mean that people will reach crisis more quickly.
Yeah, so it says that you've got a £1.1 million deficit and your proposed cuts include reducing community clinical services by 33%. So is this definitely happening or this is still a proposal?
This is definitely happening. We're currently going through the consultations with our staff, which is heartbreaking. You know, talking to staff who are really committed and make such a difference, and talking about whether or not they want to come forward for voluntary redundancy before we have to move to compulsory redundancy is incredibly difficult for everybody. I think that it's something we've been asking for so long, and I don't think we've been taken seriously. And now we're at the point where we're actually going through with that. I have to say that South West London ICB have come up with a small amount of money. We met with them yesterday, but unfortunately it's too little too late.
How much money? I mean, you said it costs £6.1 million every year.
And I'm 6.5.
6.5, sorry. I'm guessing that's keeping things at a basic level as well. So how much should it be costing you to run the hospice a year, do you think?
Well, I think 6.5 million is what it costs at the moment. But because we are only receiving around 1.7 million from the NHS, that's a huge amount of shortfall that we've then got to make up. And because we have a cost of living crisis, because people aren't able to make the donations that they'd made before perhaps, and people have other pressures on their finances, we're now having to cut our costs because we can't continue at that level.
And is this still a backlog as well from COVID when people couldn't get out and fundraise for you, or is this completely separate to COVID?
That's an interesting question. I think that certainly things have changed since COVID, but I don't believe that this is happening because of that. The government did give us some money during COVID to support, which was really helpful, but that stopped. And we've gone back to where we were before. I think our pool of volunteers, a lot of hospices rely on volunteers, that has also diminished, because we know that in this generation, a lot of people who have children are working, and therefore grandparents step forward to look after the children, so they don't perhaps have the availability, and most of our volunteers tend to be 60 and above. So that's impacted us as well.
With these cuts, what is going to be the biggest change that people see? I know that you will try and make it so that people don't notice at all because you don't want people to stop using your services. How is the charity and the hospice physically going to change with the cuts you're having to make?
We're having to think very carefully about how we are going to manage going forward, supporting the number of people that we want to. I think there's no doubt that we can't be as responsive as we have been. So what that means is we have to prioritise, and it may be that there are patients that are needing our support and our services that we can't get to in time. And that means the likelihood is that ambulances will be called and patients will be taken into hospital, which is where they don't want to be, and where the hospital staff don't want them to be because they don't have the capacity to care for them.
What was the ICB's response when you said to them, this is going to happen, we're going to have to start making these cuts, the money you're giving isn't going to be enough, and we've been asking you for a long time?
They've been really sympathetic, to be fair. You know, they want to be able to help us, but they don't have the money, or at least that's what they're telling us. They don't have the money to do that. You know, I think this is a really, really big issue, and the ICBs decide where they spend their money, but they're given a certain amount and they have to then make very difficult decisions about where that money goes. I don't think historically end-of-life care has been given the importance that it should have done. You know, we spend a lot of money on maternity services, we spend a lot of money on all of the other health services, but as is so commonly said in hospices, you don't have to have a coffee morning to raise money for maternity services, but you do for end-of-life care.
And do you think that's still because we've got this taboo about talking about how we want to die and where we want to die, and that you're running, you know, with help from volunteers, perhaps, who have used your services, and it takes people to have to use your services in order to feel that they're going to volunteer?
I think that's true. I think very often people don't realise even what hospices do until they need them. I think many people think a hospice is where you go to die, you don't come home again. Well, that's not true. About 40% of our patients do go home again. I think people think that hospices are purely for the elderly, and sometimes compare them to care homes. A lot of our patients are young. At the moment on our ward, the average age is probably 50. And over the last 2 weeks, we've had a number of 30-year-olds with young children, and we're looking after those at the end of life. So in answer to your question, no, I don't think people realise that they need a hospice until that time comes. And talking about death and dying in Britain is taboo.
We're just weeks into the new government, and Wes Streeting has already said the NHS is broken. But also, people who are listening to this and they think, I want to help, what can they do?
They can write to their local MP, and we are asking nationally for people to do that. We're putting information out on social media through advertisements and so on, asking people to complete even a template to write to the local MP to raise the profile of what we need. People at home that are thinking, I don't know how I can support, do you know, if they came and gave us a few hours working in one of our shops, or they came to support us in a hospice, perhaps even working in the garden or sitting with patients, that makes such a difference to us. So everything is valuable. It doesn't have to just be about money from the public. It does need to be about money from the government.
Chief Nursing Officer Elaine Clancy for the NHS in South West London has issued this statement. We're doing everything we can to support our local hospices who do vital work. This is amidst financial pressures across all NHS services, GPs, hospitals, community and mental health. Over the last few years, we have invested in line with the uplifts we've received to our funding. However, we recognise that all healthcare providers are having to find savings to manage the impact of inflation. After our recent meeting, St Raphael's has accepted a funding increase for this year that the NHS can afford, after previously asking for an increase of almost 100% over 3 years. The agreed funding uplift will offset some of their additional costs and is over and above what our NHS organisations receive.